Welcome back to In the Moment from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Steve Zwemke in for Lori Walsh today. A lack of trust is not expected to slow the public's reliance on the internet. A recent report from the Pew Research Center says many internet users are hoping technical and regulatory change will ease concerns about privacy and security. Some users even expect that the very nature of trust will change. Lee Rainey is the director of Internet and Technology Research at the Pew Research Center in Washington, D.C. He's also the former managing editor of U.S. News and World Report. In just a couple of hours, Rainey speaks at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology as part of the Black Hills Knowledge Network's Knowledge at Noon speaker series. His presentation is titled Facts, Public Trust, and the Future of the Internet. Lee Rainey joins us on the phone from Rapid City. Lee, welcome to South Dakota and welcome to In the Moment.
Thanks so much, Steve. It's wonderful to be with you.
First time in the state?
No, I've been here before. My friend Eric Abramson at the Black Hills Knowledge Network has had me here before, and it's just, I love this state, and I'm happy to return.
Well, great to have you here. The title of your presentation coming up in a couple hours, Facts, Public Trust, and the Future of the Internet. What does the title of today's presentation say about the future of the Internet?
It's a very challenging moment for the Internet, where a whole host of forces are coming together to raise questions about whether the Internet has lived up to the promise of its creators. You know, in the early days when they created this system of protocols and connections between computers, they were hoping it would expand democracy, bring more voices into conversations, enhance human relationships, and all sorts of other good things coming from it. And yet we have seen, particularly in recent years, that some of the trends that they hoped would develop have also had a dark side. There's just a lot of challenges now in an environment I talk about in my speech today. I'm going to say there are a couple of traits about it. First of all, it's been described by the novelist David Foster Wallace as an environment of total noise. That confuses people, where they just don't know where to turn for good information, and they can't be sure whether the material they're finding works for them. And there's also this phenomenon that we at Pew have documented over the years of a polarized political culture, which also gets in the way of a lot of people getting the information that would be most reliable sometimes and most useful. So there are new challenges in this environment. I'll be talking about that and the sort of future of whether if those dark things play out, the Internet as people have grown up on it will survive.
Can it still be a source for good, or is the trend just fading away from that?
Oh, absolutely a source for good, and you don't have to look any further than what's happening in Texas. Mm-hmm. The way that social media are being used, the way that responders and volunteer responders are coming to the aid of people, the way that other parts of the country and even the world are learning about what's going on and responding to it, absolutely different environment even from several years ago when Katrina hit New Orleans, and in a beneficial way. People are being saved because they can access these tools in a way they couldn't a while ago. And there's great amounts of altruism that you can see online, people helping each other, coming to each other's aid, solving each other's problems. And so it's a very mixed blessing, as most technology is.
You have an article on the Pew Research Center website from August 10th, and one of the things that it mentions is that people's uses of the Internet are a major contributor to the problem. And the Internet, at the outset, was not designed with some of the security protections in mind that and the trust issues that we're seeing today. Talk about that for a moment.
It's a fascinating example of the sociology of technology. The people who created the Internet now, almost 50 years ago, 2019 will actually be the 50th anniversary of the Internet, so it's not so young, but the people who created all the protocols, all the other elements of connectivity that have gone into making up the Internet, they all knew each other. They weren't necessarily buddy-buddy, but they all knew and basically the reputations of each other, and they never thought that bad actors would sort of get in the way of these wonderful set of tools. Well, it turns out that when an exploding population of Internet adopters, and especially including mobile adopters, came online, people started misbehaving and doing really awful things to each other and doing all of the standard misbehaviors that occurred offline. And so we've been scrambling for more than a generation to try to figure out how to minimize the bad stuff and to maximize the good stuff, and that struggle continues on today.
So we have these issues with security and trust. We also have, as you mentioned, the bad part of the social media aspect of the internet. How do we go about improving trust?
One of the striking things that we've seen about social media is that the economics of the companies that are providing social media sort of work towards encouraging and incentivizing outrage and anger and people getting in arguments with each other, if not doing worse to each other, harassing each other and things like that. You get more clicks if you say something incendiary than if you say something nice. You get more friends if you are highly partisan and negative and outraged than if you were presenting a public persona that was sort of pleasant and fun to engage with. And so there are incentives in the structures of these platforms like Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest even and Instagram, where for folks are encouraged to do some pretty nasty things to each other, even as there are other parts of it that are working for them. So one of the big challenges for these companies is what they can do to get in the way of some of the bad stuff, but not do it in a way that they choke off the good things.
Leah, just going to mention here, you're kind of not necessarily breaking up, but it sounds like you're right off the receiver there. So I don't know if there's anything you can do on your end, but continuing here with the social media aspect of this, one of the big terms that has permeated our culture is fake news. How big of an issue is that? I mean, is that something that we're always going to see on the internet? Not only what we call fake news, but just negativity in general. Will the internet ever be free from that?
The internet will not ever be free of that, because the idea of trying to win arguments, the way that we try to convince other people to come to our point of view, is embedded in human nature. It's a long-standing thing that's part of our cognitive makeup, and people will use whatever communications tools they have at their disposal to win arguments or to try to convert people to their point of view and things like that. So all the nastiness that arises from that, it will be in some evidence in all kinds of internet platforms forever. The bigger question is, of course, whether you can organize systems and organize social structures so that the best stuff gets recognized and people can see the best in each other and people can see multiple points of view, rather than just living in information bubbles or living in sort of diminished kinds of places. So unfortunately, every communication system always has some elements of it that are the worst parts of human nature, but it also sort of can bring out the best in people. They're better angels, and there's a big struggle now going on in the technology community and in broader structures like places like the Black Hills Knowledge Network to make sure that people get the information they need from reliable sources and help them make decisions as they are going through their lives.
Convenience is a big issue, too. How much does convenience, not only with respect to maybe online shopping or being able to find information you're looking for, how much does convenience overpower trust, and will that trend continue?
One of the things that we do at the Pew Research Center is talk to experts about the future of technology, and the argument they made speaks very much to what you just asked, and their argument is that this cluster of technologies, the internet itself through laptops and desktops, then mobile technology, social media, and increasingly now through voice assistants that we can just talk to, we don't even have to type at them or swipe at them, can make our lives easier. They make things more convenient. They make some things more efficient. They help us do things in our lives that used to be hard to do and now are easier to do, for instance, like shopping. And so convenience matters a lot, and probably the convenience of these technologies has always been the reason that they are the fastest spreading technologies in human history. So trust is sort of rides along with that stuff. It isn't the primary thing that's going on as people are increasingly adopting these instruments. But of course, trust now is at the center of the issues that the internet raises, because when everybody's a publisher or a broadcaster using social media and things, they can say whatever they want. Sometimes that means extra points of view and people get to understand the world in new ways. That's pretty good. Sometimes that means that people can use what many are now calling weaponized narratives to convert other people to bad purposes or to just put out fake information to sow confusion and chaos in the culture. And that just is goes along with the territory. So convenience, in the view of these experts, and in a lot of ways when you talk to internet users, convenience matters most of all, and the trust issues are sort of secondary.
We won't have time to get into each of these, but in the article you wrote, as I mentioned, from August 10th on the Pew Research Center website, and by the way, our guest once again is Lee Rainey, and he is with the Pew Research Center in Washington, D.C. You have six major themes on the future of trust in online interactions, and one of those mentions some say blockchains could help. What are blockchains? Could you describe that for us?
Yeah, it's a distributed ledger of what's going on online. Maybe some of your listeners have heard of the cryptocurrency called Bitcoin, which is now being used for financial exchanges in a whole host of ways. It's underwritten or underlied with a technology called blockchain that's essentially a highly encrypted, publicly available ledger that shows what's happened literally to each coin or each element of a coin in Bitcoin. And there are lots of technologists and lots of institutions that are interested in applying these kinds of technologies to their work. There are financial institutions that are thinking this could be enormously efficient for us to build blockchain into lots of transactions. When people order their stockbroker to sell a stock or to buy a stock or to sell a bond or buy a bond, you have to depend on that stockbroker and that stockbroker's employer to get every part of the transaction correct. On blockchain, that transaction then becomes part of the public record, and you don't necessarily have to go through an intermediary to have a financial transaction with an institution or another organization. So there are some people who think that by disrupting the possibility of people lying to each other or faking out each other, that this publicly available ledger will keep such a great and unalterable record of things that it will be actually easier to create trust in technological environments. So, for instance, there are some countries now that are putting birth records in blockchain-like systems. There are some places that are putting auto driver records on things like blockchains rather than relying on government agencies or insurance agencies to be the gatekeepers and keepers of that information.
You quote Richard Stallman, president of the Free Software Foundation, who says that he expects people will learn to distrust online commerce more as they see servers will be cracked and their personal information will become available to bad actors, both criminal actors and state actors. Talk about that for a moment.
Sure. One of the big challenges of the rise of the Internet is how deeply embedded in economic culture it is. So lots of businesses now in South Dakota and elsewhere are putting pretty important systems, customer records, supply chain records, other kinds of transactions online. And when they can be hacked by individuals or by state actors, that means the, all the information that underlies the financial system, you know, my records, my Social Security number, my tax information, my credit card information, sometimes even my health information, becomes more vulnerable as this becomes available online. And even some of the most sophisticated systems can be broken into by even more sophisticated bad actors. So what Stallman is talking about there is that there have been just this amazing run of data breaches in the past 7 or 8 years where millions upon millions of personal records have been broken into and now are traded online. And his argument is that over time, so much of this will have happened and so many institutions will be compromised that we will lose trust in them. That's probably the most extreme view among the experts that we talk to. A lot of other players in that survey are a little more not as upset about the possibility of that happening and not as worried about the future of these things. But that's a point of view that's out there, and some really serious technologists subscribe to it.
We have just a few seconds left. Lee, I'll ask you one more question. Where is your trust level at right now?
I'm not supposed to answer that question by Pew rules, but I'm pretty interested in how things are going to develop. And it's interesting that if you look at history, there's always been a back and forth pendulum about which side has the upper hand, whether bad actors are misusing systems in a way that hurts people, or whether good actors are overcoming those bad actors. We're in that sort of dynamic now with the Internet, and my job is to research it, and I trust that the research will be useful.
This is really interesting, and there's so much more to be covered. Lee Rainey has been our guest. He's the Director of Internet and Technology Research at the Pew Research Center in Washington, D.C. He's the featured speaker at today's Knowledge at Noon Speaker Series event in the Serbag Ballroom at the School of Mines and Technology in Rapid City. The luncheon begins at noon Mountain, and Mr. Rainey will speak and take your questions beginning at 12:30. You can check on ticket availability at bhknowsinternet.eventbrite.com. Lee, it's been interesting. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Steve. It's been great to be with you.